Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the animated.
Long,
the animator.
Long, who was going to not be here, but he has graced us with his evil Dr. Tran presence through the mighty power of the intranets. And he's wearing a blanket, and dear God, I hope he has pants on underneath it.
You want to see? No. Ah!
My eyes. Oh, good Lord.
They're beautiful, oh. I know. Brings a tear to your eye.
Why did the tent turn into a teepee all of a sudden?
On that note, how are you guys doing in a COVID-filled world?
Yeah, about as good as you can, I guess.
Yep. It's almost like... Yeah. You accept your reality now, and it's just the new norm, in a way. And, but yeah. It is what it is.
Yep.
And just got to get through it every day and do whatever. But, you know, in some ways, life didn't change that much. I realized, like, I don't really go anywhere anyway. So maybe I went some places, but now I'm just going less places. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm kind of a introverted recluse anyways. I'm kind of good with just staying home, so it's all good. It's all good. Man, but like, I watch y'all on the video here, and like, and I feel out of place now. Like, you shaved your head, Matt. Long already accepted his fate a long time ago, and I'm the only one who hasn't gone that route yet. So I feel like...
Shave it, Mark.
I'm the odd man out. Fuck no. I mean, I might shave somewhere, but not up there.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, can you mute the your StreamYard?
Cause you're echoing. Yeah. All
right.
I can do that. Is that better, sir?
Oh, there we go. Much better. Yeah.
Perfect.
I forgot to do that. So
half the background buzzing noise.
Too. A little tech issue there. Yeah, I don't know what the buzz is. Yeah, I cleaned my computer desk off. Actually, the podcast desk, it looks amazingly clean. So maybe I hit a wire or something, and now I have, like, this buzz going. I don't know.
Why don't you stop surfing porn for a change?
I should have left the desk messy. It's like any wire that might have been touching any piece of cardboard or something on the desk probably kept it from buzzing. Now that I moved everything, I'm getting, like, a slight buzz in the background. So I don't know. So I blame my cleanliness, I guess. But other than that...
That's funny. That kind of reminds me of something that happened to me. So... You know, if your car is parked in my driveway, there's a 90% chance it's going to get washed. Mark knows this. Long hasn't had the opportunity for that to happen yet.
But oh, you've so done it in my damn driveway before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. So my sister-in-law brings her truck over, and it's, you know, her husband's truck. And it was really dirty, so I clean it. And I go a step further. I pop the engine bay. And I clean the engine bay, and all of a sudden I like, and it's shiny and everything. You know, I used engine degreaser, got everything out, used engine bay shine, everything. I do it on my vehicles, and she's getting out of the driveway, and then it's for some reason it doesn't want to go in reverse all of a sudden, and it's like I cleaned it and I made it worse, and she gets back and the check engine light's running, and I was like, she's like, what did you do to my car? And I was like, I cleaned it.
Like, you fucked with shit.
Yeah, I think some of the spray got on her mass airflow sensor, and caused it to act up a little bit because it started acting right. And I was like, if your vehicle's acting fine, it's most likely mass airflow. Just kind of got a little bit of that on it.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, my week's not been too bad. I had a little story to tell here before we get to download this. So somebody messaged me on Twitter. I told you a little bit about this, Matt. And
oh yeah,
it was a
an apparent chick, right? And so I played along. I knew from the get-go it was a little awkward. That was a scammer. And so they wanted to talk on Google Hangouts, and I said, okay. They claim they live in Atlanta and that their mother lives here in Houston. And so I started getting a little suspicious whenever they asked for – I was suspicious from the beginning because she sent me a picture and this person was smoking hot. I'm like, okay, there's no fucking way that this girl's even interested in me, right? And so that's my first clue. I mean, I'm just being real with myself. And so they asked for a Google Play card to pay for a bill, and I was like – that's a red flag. So at this point on, I know it's a scammer, right? But I'm going to play along anyway. So I kept playing along. I said, no, I'm not sending you money. So finally I reversed image her. And sure enough, it was this Colombian Dominican Republican model that semi-famous, a lot of followers on their social media and things like that. And so I called her out on it. And I said, so why are you a model when I reversed image you? And she said, oh, I used to do that and I quit. I said, so you quit and they're still updating your Instagram as of last week? And she says, oh, I have my manager owns my contract and he can do whatever he wants with my image. And I'm like, the story just gets better and better. I'm like, you're so fucking fake. So I said, okay, well, if you're real, why don't you FaceTime me? Made every excuse in the world not to do that. I'm just like, okay, so then finally they asked for my Facebook information. I said, oh, you can look up my name and find it. And they go, no, I want your username. Okay, yeah, I'm going to give you my username. I'm not fucking stupid. So then most recently, they claimed to own an antique business, right, in Atlanta. And they gave me a name, and I looked up the antique business. The owner of that business didn't even match this person's name. And so I was like, and I called them out on that, too. I say, well, okay, I called them out on that after the fact. They asked me for a bank account number so they could send me some money to get some things they needed for their business that she was having trouble getting there. I'm like, when are you going to stop fucking lying, right? So it was just, I had some humorous fun with them, and I called them out on my own Twitter account today and asked anybody else if they had any trouble with this person, and at least one person responded and said, yeah, it's a scammer, sure and sure, which I already knew that, but it's just like the lengths that people go. But I give this person credit. They were resilient. They never gave in. They never admitted that they were a scammer, because if they do, then you can post on the internet and they'll never scam anybody else. But so a little bit of fun with a internet scammer the last actually it's been a couple of weeks. I've been kind of messing around with them, so you know, and but oh well, it was all in good fun. So watch out for those internet scammers. I mean, I don't know why anybody would be dumb enough to send any money they don't know, you know, but I guess there are people out there that naive. So yeah, but my little story, I guess that's sad. That's the most entertainment I've had in COVID-19 world. But, so let's get to download this. Vacation
today.
What's that?
Yes, it started.
Oh, yeah, you started vacation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
One whole week. I don't think I've ever taken the vacation this long before. I've only taken like 5 days or 6 days at the most, but not 9 days straight, you know?
So you're saying we shouldn't text you? We shouldn't text you at 6:30 a.m. like usual, because you're probably not going to be awake.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, you can always text and all that. It gives me something to read when I wake up.
I know. When I'm on vacation, a lot of times I'll wake up and there will be texts from you guys. And, you know, but I usually don't sleep too late. I'm usually still up by 7:30, even on vacation. So,
yeah.
But so let's get to download this, man, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, or played this week. And, so whoever wants to go first, man, what'd you guys check out this week?
I'll go first. I resubscribed to Disney Plus last week, I think.
Nice.
And I was kind of curious about Hamilton. So I started watching it for the first 10 and 15 minutes, and I couldn't last longer than 15 minutes. You know, it's a great production and all, and hats off for it to, you know, being as popular as it is, because, you know, it's all set against R&B, hip-hop type music. But I just couldn't get into the story, you know? So, and it is like singing from beginning to end, just singing, you know? That's the dialogue. It's done through singing or rapping, you know? And, it's like an opera, basically, a modern opera. And but I couldn't get into the story, couldn't get into the characters. I don't know, maybe it's the singing or what, I don't know. But you know, I'm not hating on it at all, but it's probably, I'm not in the mood to watch it. I'll probably watch it eventually. So I'm not writing it off completely, but it's kind of funny how that play was started. Ron Chernow, the guy who wrote the biography on Alexander Hamilton, it's a best-selling history novel, and Lin-Manuel Miranda was reading the book, and he was thinking, hey, maybe I could turn this into a play or a musical, and he did, you know. And, of course, Ron Chernow didn't know anything about it. It's kind of weird how he indirectly inspired that Broadway play, and that kind of made me interested in Ron Chernow's new book about Ulysses S. Grant, the Civil War general who won the Civil War. And he wrote that book to basically overturn years of hostile historical depictions by Southern historians who said that he was a drunk, you know, throughout his presidency and throughout his generalship. But that was like a biased point of view, because most of the books written against Grant were written by Southern historians. So the book that Ron Chernow released about Ulysses S. Grant basically is like giving it a much fair light and talks about all the stuff that Grant has done as a president, you know, and as a Civil War general too, you know, all the good stuff that he's done that were overshadowed by years of propaganda.
That's funny, because it's like, why would you want to say that you got beat by a drunk dude, you know, in a fight? It's like you might want to, you know, maybe say that he, you know, wrestled an alligator and pulled its head off or something. You got beat by this great dude, not this drunken, you know, dude. General. Yeah.
Yeah. So also, I watched Frozen 2 because I like the first Frozen. And I know Mark's probably sick of Frozen 2 or by now. But I have to tell you, though, the plot of the story wasn't as good as the first one. And then I skipped all the song and dance numbers. So I basically watched probably an hour's worth of the movie by skipping all the songs and dance numbers.
As much as I'm tired of watching it, I think the songs are better than the second one. I do think that.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I like some of the first songs in the first one, but then again, I skipped those too. So, and I started watching that behind the scenes documentary on The Mandalorian. That was pretty cool, you know. So, that's my download this.
Nice. I finally finished beating Resident Evil 3. The first time I ever beat Resident Evil 3, I only got like halfway through on PS2 because, you know, my parents didn't buy those games for me. I wasn't allowed to have mature rated games. I had to go to my cousin's. And that's why my cousin is pretty much like my brother. I would stay there for weeks at a time, like 1 week at a time, 2 weeks at a time. I think one time I spent a whole month over there for the summer, and his parents would buy everything for him, you know, just, you know, if he wanted Diablo, it didn't matter if he was 13 and it was rated M for mature, 17 plus, you know, he'd get it. And so I was able to beat Resident Evil 2 while I was over there, but not 3. And he had to tell me what happened over the phone in Resident Evil 3 when he beat it. He finished it for me. And it's just so cool because I feel like those are like the only canon trilogy. That's the only one. The trilogy is the only canon part of that series. 1, 2, and 3. 4 is great. I like 5, but you know it's all about 1, 2, and 3. So beat that. Was very proud. And then I watched Liar Liar. Wife wanted to watch Liar Liar, and it's still hilarious to me. Still funny. And my parents gave me the code to Dr. Doolittle. And I know it's horribly rated, but I got it for free. And I only watched a little bit of it. Didn't get to watch a whole lot of it to make a judgment, but seems like it's okay. And I think that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to watch though. Oh no.
I haven't got much further along in The Last of Us yet. Man, during the week it's just not as much time to play, but I played some last weekend and I got to a part where that was very difficult, so I put it down and said I'll have to come back to this whenever I have time. And so I have not been back on it yet, so hopefully this weekend. And then but I did watch on HBO Max. One thing that's cool about that is this is Studio Ghibli stuff is on there. And so I sat down, I watched My Neighbor Totoro, because I had never seen that one. And Waverly watched it with me. It's a really cute movie. You know, it's got two little girls in it, so she, I think, related to it even at her age. And
it's a great movie. It's one of the pillars of the
studio. I had never seen it, and I was highly impressed. Just a really great, great story.
Yeah.
Very heartwarming, very easy to follow, really well animated, of course. I mean, it's 1989, I believe, is when it came out, so it's one of Studio Ghibli's earlier films. But just really well done. And, you know, we've done Princess Mononoke, of course, and we've talked about doing Spirited Away, and you know, his films are just, he gets how to appeal to everyone who, imaginative, he gets how to appeal to everybody who watches his films. You can guarantee you can watch a Miyazaki film and you're going to find something you relate to in it, something that makes you smile, something that makes you think. Every one of his films are just really well done. And I'm going to take advantage of those movies though on HBO Max and try to watch some of the ones I haven't seen. And, you know, Hulu.
I saw The Wind Rises. Mm.
This is his latest film.
Miyazaki. Yeah, that's a sad movie.
Yeah,
not as sad as Graveyard of the Fireflies. Dude,
Graveyard of the Fireflies is on Hulu, and I actually have it in my queue on Hulu. I haven't watched it because I've heard you have to really be mentally prepared to watch it, but I do want to see it eventually. Yeah. I just have to put myself in the right frame of mind and watch it. So I've heard it's amazingly well done, but you're guaranteed to cry when you watch it, is what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not directed by Miyazaki, but one of his co-creators. So, yeah.
Well, the amazing thing about him, though, is even the ones he didn't direct, he's had a hand in almost all of them, at least with animation ideas or writing credits and stuff. You know, he took a cue from Walt Disney with that when he built his studio, that he wanted to be hands-on and be involved with most of his projects. So I think there's very little that they've done at Studio Ghibli that he hasn't had some involvement in some way. And, you know, just a very imaginative director. You know, he says he's going to do one more film, so hopefully he gets that done. I guess he's already started work on it, so we'll see. And, but that's really about all I really watched this week. I didn't really watch a whole lot. It's kind of a slow week. And why is your Arnold text message just going off?
Sorry, someone messaged me.
But, shut Arnold.
What's with all these kids appearing on everyone's background?
I know, right?
The light in Matt's background is all of a sudden see a little head pop up.
Yeah, they just show up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Matt's got a whole fucking Brady Bunch over there, so, you know. I mean.
Yeah. Put your kids under control, man.
Don't you have whiskey, man? You go dip a little whiskey in them and go to sleep. I don't know. Mine are being pretty good so far. So, So that's about it.
Did you in Last of Us Part 2, did you finally start playing the other character?
I'm on that part in the game right now where I'm playing as the other character.
The one with the really big arms?
Yeah, there's you're down in the basement of the hospital and this giant infected mutant thing is after you and he's really scary. And it's dark and it's disorienting and I keep running into walls and he kills me and he rips me in half he rips you in half very brutally and I'm just like, this sucks. So it's one of those things where I put it down, watch, I'll probably come back to it and I'll beat it in a couple of tries, you know? Just one of those things, like at that moment, like just nothing was working. I'm like, okay, flamethrower's not working on him, shotgun's not working, how do I kill this son of a bitch? And so I have to come back around to it and hopefully beat it, so. But still a great game. And, And I might download PlayStation Plus. One of the free games this month is one of the Tomb Raider games. And I'm not a big Tomb Raider person, but I might check that one out and see and what it's all about.
Those are fun.
Yeah, and the other one is NBA 2K20, but I already have 2K19, so I don't really feel the need to download 2K20, you know, just for updated rosters. So, yeah. So. All right, well, let's get into today's featured film. A movie that was promoted and designed to bring mainstream anime to the mainstreams of America. It didn't quite work the way they intended it to, but the film had its audience. You know, I remember this coming out when I was in high school and remember hearing a lot about it through comic book stores. It was heavily promoted. And that is 1995's Ghost in the Shell, the original anime version, not the live action Scarlett Johansson version. This is a complex film. Who wants this? Y'all want to summarize this? Because it's pretty complex, but also pretty simple on the surface, I suppose.
Yeah, so basically the year is 2029, and now you are able to enhance yourself. You can have enhanced eyes, enhanced ears. You know, we talked about Mallrats before. I think one of the guys from Mallrats would ask what else you could enhance further below the equator. you have a ghost, which is your conscious, your cortex, and you can upload it into these shells, which are
cyborgs.
You know, enhanced cyborgs. You can be full cyborgs, full cybernetic, or you can be an enhanced human. Or even one guy looks like one guy in the film is completely human. Well, there's someone that's going around and hacking these ghosts, and it is Major's job to find out who and you know the puppet master is and take him down, essentially.
Yeah, that's pretty good summary. I guess the complexities of this film lie in the ideas it deals with of messing with artificial intelligence and what it is being a human. That's where the complexities lie. It's been a while since I watched this, and I forgot it's only like an hour and 20 minutes long, because it's one of those films that feels very epic for only an hour and 20 minutes. It feels like a 2-hour film, and not because it's slow, just because it's quite epic for what it does. Very well animated for 1995. It looks fantastic, even by today's standards.
Yeah, it still looks
really good. Really well drawn. I was really, as I was watching it, paying attention to a lot of the backgrounds and the details they put into it. Just really, really well done. And I wanted to go see this in theaters when it came out, but it was only playing, like, I think it played at the Edwards Theater, you know, over there and a couple places. I never did make it to theaters, so I remember catching this on video and seeing it. And it made quite an impression on me. You know, I'd already seen Akira at this point, and I had seen some anime stuff, but Ghost in the Shell, I think, made me realize that maybe anime could be a little darker. I guess I had stayed away from the darker stuff at that point, even though I knew it was out there. And definitely can be told to tell pretty complex stories. Because I guess at that time, when I saw Akira, I didn't really realize how complex it was. You know, I just thought, oh, this is kind of cool. But I think I give a lot of credit to anime for doing that with animation, making it not just Disney films. There's a lot more to them. And when was the first time you guys remember seeing this?
Maybe 2000. I was probably 14. I think I saw it on TV.
Yeah, I finally sat down and watched it in, I believe, 96 or 97. I liked it. You know, it definitely had its own pacing, you know. And, you know, it's I watched it quite a bit when I was younger as well. Mm-hmm. And, the animation is stellar. And I watched the 2.0 version, like, literally an hour and a half ago. Just finished it. And, man, it's kind of distracting with the CGI that they added.
That's how I felt.
In the beginning.
I tried to watch the 2.0 version one day, and I felt the exact same thing. It was too distracting for me to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it pretty much stayed 2D for the rest of the movie. It was just like the first 10 minutes that
and then it's kind of isn't you know, the and then some of the fight scene at the end, if I remember right.
Yeah.
That final battle. Have either one of you ever read the manga?
Yeah. I used to own the manga.
I never read it. I always wanted to.
Yeah. It was.
I never read it.
It had more humor in it, and it was not as stoic as the movie.
Get your mouth.
And let's see. It definitely had more mouth. Personality to it, you know. So there goes Mark.
There he goes.
There you go, Matt. Now that the main host has left, but yeah, you can actually buy a digital copy of the manga on Comixology. So, if you're ever curious, but it's a really good read. It's not as
isn't it slow short? Paced.
Yeah, it's just one volume.
Okay, that's what I thought because they didn't animate it, right?
Yeah,
I think they animated it because I remember it coming on Toonami. I remember it being on Toonami at night for a short time. And there are other animes that they had for a short time on Toonami. Witch Hunter Robin. It wasn't like Inuyasha. Inuyasha was on every night.
Yeah.
That's all like every girl in high school liked Inuyasha
for some reason.
Yeah, they wanted to be like Inuyasha and Kagome.
It's a rom-com, though. That's why.
Yeah, basically.
And, no, what you missed out, Mark, was I was talking about how the manga was had more humor in it. And each of the characters in Section 9 actually had their personal tank robot with them.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah. I think the TV series was more faithful in a way.
Yeah.
Because they had the robots with them, didn't they?
Yeah, I was actually reading that. Like, the director, I can't think of his name, he wanted to implement that into the film, but they just felt that they couldn't get into the story without really drawing it out more. And I think you're right, though. I think in the TV version, they do have all that. Because I've watched some of Standalone Complex, and I do remember those being in there.
Yeah.
And that was one of his biggest things. The director wanted to do was he really wanted to make it much more faithful to the book, but it would have been a longer film or it had even been two movies at least. And I guess, you know, they still had issues. Any even anime has a studio they have to answer to. And this was a very expensive anime for 1995. One of the highest budgeted anime films ever made. So I guess they had to cut some things out. But I think from what I know about the manga, the core of the story is still there. The essence of it, you know, and I know and some of the police stuff is in there that he did keep in there. He actually went and shot live action actors running with guns and shooting to see what it would look like. So when they animated it, he could make it look as real as possible, which I thought was kind of cool. A lot of attention to detail in the film. I guess there was a whole scene at the beginning of the movie that never was filmed. Where a tsunami hits they're in Tokyo, right? Yeah. And that explains why the city is kind of flooded. And I guess it is mentioned in the film, but we obviously never saw the tsunami. So, because I was wondering that too. I was like, why are they walking in water? And then I read that, and I guess it is mentioned in the film at least once. I think this movie is just. It's complex in the fact that it deals with how we might believe if cyborgs were ever to come into our general culture, you know, which a lot of people believe that it could happen one day with the advent of 3D printing and things changing that our bodies could change. And, you know, what it means to be human and what it means to have a conscious, Major never blinks in the film, you know, so it alludes that she's a shell with a ghost in her, but yet she thinks and has a conscience too. So it deals with those complexities, and the Puppet Master is a villain that challenges those complexities and whether they're alive or not, because he ultimately, he's still your typical villain. He ultimately wants to bring down the system, but are his reasonings good? You know, because he wants to bring down the system because he believes it's wrong. You know, he's one of those interesting villains that I almost feel wasn't delved into enough, you know, because he could be a villain that you could have sympathized with in some ways, you know, because he may not be wrong in wanting all these the system to be brought down, because it's kind of an unhuman system. You know, is that the right word for it? Inhumane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he quotes Corinthians in
yes.
here. There's like a full paragraph from Corinthians, and I thought that was cool. And you know, you wouldn't think that his dialogue was biblical, but I guess his logic was of biblical proportions, talking about becoming more than yourself, like thinking that the best version of yourself is, you know, your limit, when really it's more becoming out of yourself.
He even says that himself. Know. He says, I'm not an AI.
Yeah.
I'm more than AI. But ultimately, he is an AI. He just claims to be more.
He's an AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that this villain's very, very mm-hmm. interesting.
And the film does a good job with the character of Major. And Bato, is that how you say his name? Her partner?
Yeah.
And their relationship. Yeah. And but Bato also won't hesitate to kill for Major to help her out. And he basically tells Major, like, if you go off the deep end, I'll kill you. You know, Bato does mm-hmm. not fuck around. And they did do that in the live action film, too. You know, he doesn't mess around that movie either. I guess that's how he was in the manga also. He was pretty tough, hard-nailed cop, you know?
Yeah, but he's still a loyal friend to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Loyal friend to the end, but yeah, I'll kill you if I have to, too. Cool.
I heard that the sequel, Ghost in the Shell Innocence, was pretty good, too.
The sequel? Yeah.
It's definitely more Bato oriented. Because mm-hmm. it takes up the main lead, I think.
Yeah.
Then there's Standalone Complex that came out mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. And then they have the
Standalone Complex TV series at like 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And then now Netflix has its own CGI Ghost mm-hmm. in the Shell show right now.
Yeah, which I
haven't heard much.
I tried to watch the first episode, but I just got distracted and I was never able to really pay attention to it. But I did try to watch the first episode.
I did watch the first episode and I didn't really pursue it further than that. So.
Right.
It's beautifully animated, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah. So. And, you know, and even the live-action version of this isn't bad. You know, it wasn't well-received by critics, but it goes into a little bit, it has a little more deeper influences from the manga in it, but the base story is still there. I thought that the special effects were handled well in the live action version. Obviously Scarlett Johansson did not want to go nude, so she wore a bodysuit for the thermo camouflage stuff, but it still looked, you know, cool. I didn't dismiss the live action version. I thought it was okay. That was a pretty decent film. It's not as good as this though. I mean, the original is always the best. I really like the thermo-optic suits they put in this. I thought that was a really cool effect in the film. And
I think the live-action film could have done better if we didn't have a lot of negative publicity about them picking Skojo to play Major.
Right.
And I think there's a number one rule: you don't get to be more offended than the victim. And the creator of Ghost in the Shell even said that Major, you know, has no race. She's a cybernetic being that can be anything. And then you still had people that were like, you should be offended. Right. And so, you know, he's like, it's a character. Anyone can play it. You know, which I like that.
Yeah, he praised the live action movie. He thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And
I think that's why you see like it's like a 67% on Tomato Meter. I think it should. It should be like more like upper 70s.
No.
I think maybe like 76, 77, C plus, B minus kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and but you know, anytime you do a live action version of something that's loved, it's never going to be perceived the same way unless it just comes out perfect. And I think that's why a live action Akira hasn't been tackled yet. A live action Metal Gear Solid, and these really popular franchises, just because people are afraid to do it and do it right. You know, it's risky. You know, like I'm a firm believer that Akira is never going to get made. I mean, Taika Waititi says he's going to produce it and get it made, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I was actually surprised Ghost in the Shell got made, and it did finally get made, and it wasn't as well received as maybe it could have been. But I think it also, by not doing as well at the box office be as received, as may cause other live action animes to be thought twice about before a studio does it. But
I agree.
But you know, but we always have this original classic. That's, you know, it's hard to believe this movie is 25 years old, because you know, I remember that when this came out, and I was talked earlier about how it was heavily promoted. It was promoted on the back of comic books, Wizard magazine. There were posters in theaters. They were running trailers for it. They really tried to push.
Man, I remember.
They really tried to push this into mainstream audiences in North America to make anime a big deal. But then the problem lied was they were advertising with a limited audience, because in 1995, people weren't going into comic stores like they are now. Theater owners didn't believe in it. When it got picked up to be put into theaters, it ended up getting only picked up by like 1,000 theaters, where most movies are 4,000 theaters or more, or screens. So when the theater owners ended up not believing in it, it was just doomed. And they had hoped for a much more bigger release for it. You know, they wanted it to be like a major theatrical release, but the theater owners themselves kind of backlashed on this film too and kept people from being able to see it. And
maybe it's the nudity.
Maybe so. Maybe the fact that it was an adult property, it was harder to sell. It's still hard to sell adult animation, but it's different now because we have streaming and we have direct to DVD, so it's easier for them to do this stuff now. But you still couldn't sell an adult animated film in theaters nowadays. It would be really hard to do, just because people, for some reason, can't be grown up about it. Maybe that's the right way to put it, and just accept that a film doesn't always have to be live action to be adult. You know, who knows? But yeah, so the Ghost in the Shell was definitely a game changer for anime, regardless if it was successful in theaters. It found its audience through DVD and VHS and rentals and word of mouth. And I think it's considered obviously an anime classic now, right? They're, Akira and Ghost in the Shell are arguably two of the biggest anime films ever be released. Fist of the North Star, which of course we covered. That was a big one too, you know? And so it'll always be a game changer.
And how?
I was just seeing if y'all had any. I mean, I give this. I think this movie's an easy A plus. I think it's pretty solid.
Easy. You know?
Yeah. I give it an A minus because of the pacing for me.
Yeah.
You know, heavily exposition dialogue. You know,
in the middle part of the film, especially the scene in the commissioner's headquarters or police or whatever, that scene really goes on and on, you know, and it's just like, and if you edit that scene down, the movie moves so much bit, because the first 20 minutes move really quick. Then you get to all the expositions in the middle, and then the last 20 minutes move really quick. From the point where they have the puppet master, when they capture the puppet master and everything, from there on, the movie moves really fast. But it's about 20 minutes in the middle of the film that just like, you know, and I know what you mean by that.
The pacing issues.
But overall, though, a really solid film, you know. And if you've never watched Ghost in the Shell, you're an anime fan. Well, you're not really an anime fan then, I guess.
That's right. You got to at least see Ghost in the Shell and Akira.
Yeah, definitely two of the best.
I've seen those. Yeah.
But
on to our top five.
Yeah, I guess we can do our weekly top five. We didn't go very adventurous this week. We are doing our top five favorite animated films.
Just any animated films, right?
Yeah. So, Long, you want to go first, man?
Yeah, my number five, I didn't really pick any. I have like one Disney title in here, but my number five is not a Disney title. It's Secret of Nim. Have you guys heard of that? After Mark has. Secret of Nim.
Oh, Secret of Nim. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go to bed, young lady.
You
tell me, Barbara.
In a little bit. Go upstairs.
That's my number five.
So the Secret of Nim.
Secret of Nim.
I like that. Know, I actually
Basically about super smart test lab rodents. Trying to find the secret of the lab that they came out of, I think.
Actually, yeah. I don't have it in my top five, but I really like that movie a lot. It's a movie I want to do on the show one day. I actually own it on my Vudu account because that was the best way to get it in Blu. It's funny because there is a Blu-ray out there of the film, but it's actually just a DVD upgrade. The only way to actually get the movie in 16:9 widescreen is on Vudu for some reason. That's I don't know why, but and it looks really nice on Vudu. So I bought it when they had it for like $5 a few weeks back, actually, not that long ago. But I like The Secret of Nim quite a bit too. That's a really, really good movie.
First time I heard a curse word in an animated film too.
And there's been some talks about either a live action version or a new animated version. That's more like the book, because the book, I guess, is a little bit darker than even the movie was, and the movie's pretty dark. So we'll see if that happens one day.
What's your number five, Matt?
Number five for me, I put Spirited Away. It's Yeah, I didn't see that. I saw it right after it came out. And I had a friend that brought it with them whenever we went on a band trip, and we ended up watching it while we had some downtime, and it was the first. I think that was the first like animated movie that I ever saw. Is that Studio Ghibli, right?
Ghibli,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's Ghibli. I always say Ghibli.
It's not Ghibli, like Gimblets. It's Ghibli.
Yeah. It was my first Studio Ghibli anime film that I ever saw. And so I just think it's really good. I was surprisingly entertained because I felt like I hadn't seen anything like it at that point. So I'm going to go ahead with Spirited Away at number five.
Yeah.
Four of the five movies that are on my list we've actually covered on the show. At number five, I have Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which is still like one of my favorite Batman movies. And just a great Batman film. It's almost a film if no one's ever been introduced to Batman before, it might be easy to. I think Mask of the Phantasm is like a perfect jumping on point for someone who's never seen Batman. And I think it's still one of the best versions of his origin told, and really good voice performances, of course, from Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. And, you know, we did it for our Christmas movie in 2018. So Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which I think is a good Batman film.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think it's funny that scene where he just draws a red lips on one of the henchmen, and he's like, "I've solved it. Right. I've solved the mystery of who the killer is. It's the Joker. Look at these red lips that I just drew on this guy." Long, what's your number four?
Wait a minute, but Mark, did he give his number four yet?
Well, no, I did number four. I did number five. So, are we snaking it back around? Or?
No. Number four for me, it's kind of a deep cut. It's a Rankin and Bass animated film called The Last Dragon. They're also famous for doing The Last Unicorn as well. But The Last Dragon, I liked a lot because it was basically a world of like science versus magic and. John Ritter was the lead voice actor, I think. But if you guys ever get a chance, look it up on Wikipedia for The Last Dragon.
Have you ever seen pretty Wizards cool. from that?
I've heard of it.
The same company, is it? Or no?
That's Ralph Bakshi. Ralph Bakshi. Bakshi. Yeah. What's your number four, Matt?
Yeah, number four for me, I'm going to have to go with Nightmare Before Christmas.
I think it's a movie that
is still entertaining to you, even whenever you're older. I don't mind watching it with my kids at all. And it can be played at any time, and any season, and it's still entertaining.
Yeah. What's your number four?
Number four, I have The Iron Giant. Could easily be a number one film for me. It's one of my favorite animated films. I just really, really like that movie. I don't know. And, yeah, that's it. I don't know what else to say about The Iron Giant. We did an episode with it in which, was that the episode where Michael joined us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really fun episode. Just a good film, good family film and a good movie overall. And, arguably, I know people love The Incredibles, but I think that's Brad Bird's best film is Iron Giant. That's just me personally. So.
Cool. My number three is Akira.
Oh.
I think it's the first feature film that I've seen from a Japanese animation. Also helped define the whole cyberpunk genre, as well as, you know, with Blade Runner and Ghost in the Shell did. And yeah, very, very well animated. I think it's from the same director. The Mamoru Oshii is a director of Akira and Ghost in the Shell. So kind of see the similar styles in the way skyscrapers are animated and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number three. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I also had Akira number three.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, to echo what you said, I think just the animation is still holds up, still an interesting story. And we covered it and it's great to talk about. There's a lot to say about that movie.
It's funny because I have it at number three also. But it's not the same. It's not the same director though. It's Katsuhiro Otomo directed Akira, and Mamoru Oshii directed Ghost in the Shell. But yeah, Akira is the the movie that got me into anime, like a lot of people. You know, I actually was watching it. I didn't do it and download this because I don't always mention the old movies I watch and download this. I try to do my download this and newer stuff. But I was watching part of Akira the other day. I guess because I'd watched Ghost in the Shell I love Akira. Took me a long time to understand the movie, a few viewings over the years, but such a great movie.
Yeah. My number two is it's kind of a three-way tie. It's Wreck-It Ralph
with
Asia and with Sleeping Beauty. I had a Disney three-way tie. Wreck-It Ralph speaks to me as a gamer. You know, it has a lot of heart in it. I love the cameos of all the famous video game characters. Fantasia, you know, it's like a technical achievement. I mean, how do you animate, you know, in sync with Sith's orchestra music?
Yeah.
Of course, Sleeping Beauty. It was done in 70mm. And it's definitely one of my all-time favorites, you know, as far as tight story, classic fairy tale, you know, a big dragon battle at the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the best
That's amazing. Sometimes you watch those early Disney films, and they're like 75 minutes long, but they're so tight, and they do so much in an hour and 15 mm-hmm. minutes. It's amazing. But they're really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my number two. Go ahead, Matt.
I put my DC film I went ahead and put Under the Red Hood. I just think that's what made me a fan of DC films. I know Apocalypse War is probably going to end up being the better film overall, but I think if you watch Under the Red Hood, it stands by itself, and the voice acting's great. Even though you've got DiMaggio instead of Mark Hamill, that's probably the only thing that I would change if I could change anything about that film. But I think it's great, and still holds up, even for 2009.
Yeah.
My number two film is The Jungle Book, my favorite Disney movie. If I'm in a bad mood, I watch The Jungle Book because it always makes me happy.
Nice.
I love that movie. It's fun. If you've never seen Jungle Book, then you're slacking in life because it's one of Disney's best. I even like the live action version they did. I thought it was pretty good.
It was really good. Seamless.
Oh yeah, too. I just like the story of Mowgli and all the way it comes together. Really great songs in the movie too. And like I said, it's just my feel good movie. It's The Jungle Book, where I'm just kind of like, oh, this sucks. I'll put that on. It's a good movie. Makes me happy.
My number one is actually more of a recent favorite, and it's an anime, and it's the Evangelion reboot movies, parts 1 through 3. Part 4 is finally coming out, the final part of the Evangelion reboot movie series. That's coming out hopefully this year, later on. It's spectacular. Hideaki Anno, the director, retells the story of the Evangelion TV series and does it with such mastery of sight, sound, and music. I've watched it multiple times and love it. Love it, love it, love it. That's my number one, the Evangelion reboot movie series that started out in, I think, 2008.
Nice.
And it's hopefully will conclude this year. What's your number one, Matt?
I have an honorable mention of Fievel Goes West. That was my childhood animated. One. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to include Land Before Time.
Oh, too. Land Before Time, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Heck yeah, man.
Fuck that sad Tom shit.
Bluth was good.
Fuck that sad shit, man.
For my number one, I went more recent. I've got Into the Spider-Verse, number one.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Just love the way it's animated. I think we all know what it's about. It deserves a number one spot on plenty of lists. You can justify it.
The hell you got? A damn pube in your mouth? Matt, you're talking like you got
Sour Patch Kid.
Pube in your mouth. You don't eat on a podcast.
It was sticking to
you're
my
lucky you're not here. I would hit you. You know, it's a no-no. People don't want to hear you chewing.
I thought I'd be able to get rid of it, but it's
obviously sticky. Not, motherfucker. Swallow that shit, bitch.
Like a king. No.
Into the Spider-Verse is a good choice. I went with more older stuff on my list, but if I had an honorable mention, I did point. Have you ever seen Titan A.E.? I actually really liked that movie, but I didn't put it on. My number one is I'm a little disappointed that Long did not have this on his top five. And that's Transformers.
I've never seen it.
It's Transformers the movie. Oh, no, Transformers the movie.
Yeah.
That's my number one animated film.
I did that one.
But it's fucking Transformers. It's awesome. It's new.
It's the touch,
it's new
man.
Characters. I was 10 years old when that shit came out. And I'm like, who is this Galvatron guy? Who is Unicorn? Who is Ultra Magnus? And I was completely blown away when my dad took me to theaters to see that. And it probably changed my life as far as what Transformers were in animation. And I watch it. It's pretty regularly played in my house a lot. What? Because it's only like an hour and 20 minutes long. Talk about pacing. That movie's paced so fucking quick. It just goes nonstop. But it's badass. And that's my number one. It's Transformers the movie. So, but I'll forgive you, Long, for not putting it on your list. I just mean, as big as a
let's see how the Netflix series.
Oh, I know. As big as a Transformers fan as you are, though, I thought you'd have it on your list.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But Optimus.
Yeah, died, I know.
That's what killed me. I
know. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get over your childhood terrors, okay?
I know.
All right. Well, let's do some news then. So this came out of the blue today. I guess Matt Reeves is developing a Gotham PD series for HBO Max that ties in with his Batman film that's coming out next year. Very little details were given other than that it will definitely be directly tied in with the film. And it's expected to debut on HBO Max sometime, I guess, around the time the film comes out, which is, were we supposed to get Batman this year originally? And now we're getting it next year? I don't know.
It's supposed to be October.
No,
right? I think Batman was always next year. It just got pushed back next year from like June. It was supposed to be June of next year, and it got pushed back in October of next year. That's what it was. No. Yeah, I don't think Batman was – only Wonder Woman was coming out this year. I think Batman was next year. So it's kind of cool, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as Batman related, I heard the Batgirl movie is being developed into a Batman Beyond movie.
Yeah, there's been rumors of that, you know, especially, I guess, if they get Michael Keaton to sign on. And there's also been rumors that if Keaton doesn't sign on, they're going to go after Christian Bale to bring him back. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, I guess the deal with Bale is Bale has a Warner Brothers contract, so it might be easier to get him, apparently. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, I guess it makes sense you're going to do a Gotham PD series. You got Jeffrey Wright that's going to play Commissioner Gordon. And he already has worked with – he already works with HBO, of course, on the Westworld TV series. So I would imagine it's probably pretty easy for him to cross the T's and dot the I's to get Jeffrey Wright to sign on as Commissioner Gordon for a Gotham PD series. So assuming he's going to be in it. But that should be cool. You know, I love the character of Batman, so I'm down for anything when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Ernest Cline has he said he was working on a sequel to Ready Player One, his pop culture novel from 2011, I believe the book came out. Get this, it's called Ready Player Two. Ha.
Oh.
And the book hit stores in November. Right. I'm a big fan of his book. I really enjoyed reading Ready Player One. He's a local guy, you know. Ernest Cline lives in Austin, so you got to support our Texas guys. I have not probably ever bought a novel that came out right away in years, but I might actually buy this one. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to reading it. I'm sure it'll be developed into a film because Ready Player One, was successful enough. It did make money at the box office. I actually really like Ready Player One quite a bit. Even though it changed some stuff from the book, I really enjoy the movie. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I might and see what Ready Player Two holds. You know, it's big news when a novel like that makes the news because, you know, you don't hear too much stuff about novels anymore unless it's Stephen King or J.K. Rowling opening her mouth about something, you know.
I guess you heard about the latest thing about J.K. Rowling, huh?
I
saw it was so big of a mess and it looked like it got worse, but I'm not a... I know it has to do with like the trans community, but I'm not exactly sure what. I guess she spoke out of line, and it just kind of went from there. I haven't really looked
and
into
she
it.
Doubled down.
It looks like a mess, you know, just a big mess.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not really a big fan of Harry Potter, and I've only seen all the movies one and done on each movie, you know. And I thought Fantastic Beasts was overrated and a mess of a movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I heard the Fantastic Beasts 2 was even worse.
Yeah, so. You kind of have similar feelings that I do. I've seen most of them once, and I'm like, I rented Fantastic Beasts, and I didn't think it was very good at all. I was like, it was the acting was all over the place. The story was all over the place. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And
mediocre.
Yeah.
Yes, like from Mad Max.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So we got a trailer this week for The Boys season 2. Long, you gotta get on this bandwagon and watch The Boys, man. It's good stuff, dude. It's only 8 episodes, man. Mm-hmm. And then I guess along with it, they're going to have a Billy the Butcher short film that's going to tie in with season two. But the trailer looks awesome. It made me really excited for the series. It sucks though. They're only going to put out the first three episodes, and then they're going to do the other five episodes week by week instead of putting them all out once this time. But that seems to be the new norm. You know, Netflix apparently is going to that. Netflix hasn't officially said it yet, but word is that Netflix is going to start doing shows weekly, just like Disney Plus and Hulu do. Instead of putting it instead
whatever
of putting
to
all
expand
out
the subscription.
Yeah, exactly. Did you watch the Boys season two trailer, Matt?
I didn't. I clicked on the link that you shared, and maybe it just didn't load. And I was like, "Where's the part where the trailer
lots
plays?"
Of
so I didn't get to
lots
watch
of violence.
That's awesome.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Mad Max, Mark, what do you think of them recasting Furiosa?
I mean,
man,
I guess it's a prequel, so she's younger. I'll put it this way: I trust George Miller.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, I would love to have Charlize. I would love that Charlize come back.
Who would they cast?
I don't know. I'm not as familiar with some of these young actresses nowadays. I'd have to think about it, but I do have one. Even though she's getting a little bit older, the chick from The Hunger Games, Natalie Dormer, is also in Game of Thrones. She's tough as nails. She's sexy. She gets naked a lot in Game of Thrones. She could play a young Furiosa. That might be one.
I think Jennifer Winnick from The Vikings.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So I trust George Miller. And speaking of Charlize Theron, her new movie, The Old Guard, is on Netflix today. I might have to watch that. Yeah.
Wow. I need to watch Extraction.
Oh yeah, that's good. You'll like it.
Good movie. Same here. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Jackie, you will like it. It's got Chris Hemsworth in it, doing Chris Hemsworth things.
Yes.
And last but not least in the news, Universal Pictures is, of course, been trying to reboot their Monster Universe, and so they have sent it over to their Blumhouse Pictures division, which had some success with The Invisible Man earlier this year, despite theaters being shut down. So their next on their radar is The Wolfman with Ryan Gosling, and the same director from The Invisible Man, Lee Wannell, I think is how you say his name, looks like he's going to direct this film. I still need to watch The Invisible Man. I did see Upgrade from that director, and I really liked Upgrade a lot. But it seems like they're starting to figure out how to get these monster movies made on lower budgets and well done. And for some reason, I really kind of think Ryan Gosling's pretty good as a Wolfman. You know, it sounds like good casting.
I think he can do it.
So we'll see where they go with that. But that's all the news I had, unless you guys had anything.
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, it was a holiday week. News is always slow after a holiday week. So let's preview next week's film before we get out of here. We're going to have a little bit of fun this next week. About a year and a half ago, we covered Superman 1 and Superman 2, and we never did 3 and 4 for obvious reasons, you know, because 3 and 4 are not as well received. So on our Patreon, we're going to be covering Superman 4 for the month of July, which is obviously a terrible movie, so we're going to have some fun with it and tear it apart. But Superman 3, which is a little bit more watchable, is going to be our regular episode next week as we talk Superman 3 on the podcast.
When it's time for adventure, it's time for Superman. Alexander Salkind presents Christopher Reeve and Richard Pryor in Superman 3. Now, the evil threat is not a mere superhuman. It is a supercomputer.
What will it do for me?
It'll do anything you tell me to tell it to do for you.
A machine so powerful it can change the weather, control the Earth.
Oh. Getting down to business.
And even reprogram Superman.
I
thought you'd never get here.
Well, I hope you don't expect me to save you, because I don't do that anymore.
Now, his evil side is creating a global energy crisis. Destroying the wonders of the world. And playing havoc with the world games. The Man of Steel has become his own worst enemy.
You're going to go down in history as the man who killed Superman.
No, but he's still our only hope for survival.
I ask you to kill Superman, and you're telling me you couldn't even do that one simple thing.
Come on, please, let's see.
All right, Webster, the game's over.
Will he conquer his evil side and conquer the super machine in time to save the world from destruction? Superman 3. This time is going to be the best time of all.
It's going to be fun to talk about drunk Superman fighting himself and Richard Pryor in his role. You know, Superman 3 is not as good as Superman 1 and 2, but it's still, I don't think it's a terrible, terrible film. It's watchable. It's got some ridiculous in it, too.
Christopher Reeve has his Superman and Clark Kent bit down to
and that's the thing.
In Superman 3. I think he's the best. You know, he is in any movie.
Right, and we'll talk about that more next week, but you're absolutely right. Because 1 and 2 were basically filmed back-to-back. He didn't quite have time to really get the character down. And he's probably better as Superman Clark Kent in 3 than as in 1 and 2. even if the movie around him is not that great. So that should be fun to talk about next week, talking Superman 3 on the show. I'm looking forward to it. As I've been on this crazy Superman kick the last month and a half and watching a lot of Superman stuff. So... So it should be fine. And then the week, within the week also, we'll have Superman 4 out for our Patreon members. So if you want to join Patreon, go to RebelRadioPodcast.com, click the little Patreon link, and for just $2 a month, you can listen to those exclusive episodes. And it helps us, keeps us the show going by helping us pay for server space and things like that. So, mm-hmm. Superman 3 next week on the Rebel Radio Podcast. But that's all we got. Until next time, as always, like I just said, go to RebelRadioPodcast.com and follow us on all our social media. And just stay safe out there. Take care of yourselves. And we appreciate you listening to the podcast. And we hope we keep you entertained while you are at home or doing whatever it is that you do right now. This has been Mark, as always.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Cyberpunk.
And see you guys next week. And until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Just go there and do it, as always.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Go there and do it.